Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Revelation chapter 22, verses 13 through 16, titled The Testimony of Jesus. The denial of the deity of Jesus Christ is common to all false religions. Jesus made his claims of deity clear, but Satan fills the hearts of men to deny and to blaspheme the Creator who became man in order to die for the sins of the world. In this study, we will discuss the Quran, and we will also show a short clip of a Mormon elder teaching their blasphemous doctrine that makes Jesus a created being and the brother of Lucifer. And this is taken directly from BYU TV. As you study with us, feel free to send comments, questions, or prayer requests by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now, our study in Revelation chapter 22, verses 13 through 16, titled The Testimony of Jesus. This is part one.
All right, so let's open our Bible study with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everyone who has made it here tonight. We pray for those, including myself, getting over the illnesses. And we just pray for those who might be homesick with illness. We've had a number who we believe have gotten over it. And we just thank you for your mercy. And we had two infants and a couple of toddlers here Sunday, and none of them have suffered these things. We're thankful for that. And so we just ask now, Lord, that we'd be able to clear our minds, focus on your word, learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Revelation 22, verses 13 through 16. Open your Biblos, Revelation 22, 13 through 16. We're going to study the testimony of Jesus. Everybody there, if you want to read off of the screen, join with me. Let's read. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Amen?
Amen.
That's good stuff, isn't it? Jesus makes three claims about who he is in that first verse, and they are claims of deity. How many of you know what the word deity means? It means he's claiming to be divine. Deity is the Godhead. We can't run all the references, so I'll throw out a few off the cuff, but the Bible says that in Jesus the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. That's in Colossians. And it's divinity, the nature and essence of the supreme being. So this first verse we're studying, verse 13, is one of many where Jesus is claiming deity. He's claiming to be God. Now, all false religions deny the deity of Jesus Christ. That is something that too many Christians haven't learned yet.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk to, people always said, I don't feel like I can talk to those Mormons or those Jehovah's Witnesses when they come to my door or whatever. Everybody can talk to them. All you have to do is emphasize the deity of Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace.
Amen.
Those two things separate biblical Christianity from every religion on the planet.
Amen.
And I want to show you two examples, you know, because I could go through 3,000 different religions tonight. But two major examples here in the United States of America right now start with the Quran. This is just one verse in the Quran. The Islamic religion denies that Jesus is the Son of God. They deny that he actually died on the cross. They deny that he rose again, and they deny that he is God. Surah 4:171 says the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of Mary, was but a messenger. You see that? Was but a messenger of Allah. And his word which he directed to Mary and a soul created at a command. See? Jesus is but a messenger who is created from him. So believe in Allah and his messengers and do not say three, the Trinity. Desist. It is better for you. Indeed, Allah is but one God. Exalted is he above having his son. Muhammad denied the Trinity because he was too stupid to understand the doctrine of the Trinity, so he rejected it. That's why. But in one verse, Muhammad blasphemes his creator. And Muhammad is going to answer to Jesus Christ for being a blasphemer, among other sins. And the other sins are just kind of icing on the cake. This is the big one. This is the reason Muhammad is in hell right now. And here's a... I'm going to give you a second one real quick. I want to give you an introduction. But this is something that I took right off of my TV from BYU TV. And this is what the Mormons teach. And I want to say this. They come to my door, and when I talk to the Mormons, every single Mormon who has ever come to my door lies to me in my face. BYU is Brigham Young University. And every single Mormon who's come to my door, and I tell them that this, I know their religion, and this is what they believe, they lie. They're taught to lie, just like the Muslims who are taught taqiyya, just like the Jesuits with their mental reservation. We were talking about some of this earlier. Mormon missionaries are taught to lie, and not to tell you what they really believe until they can get you by the hook, bring you into their local wards, which is what they call their local churches, and to then love you in. You better watch people who want to love you into something. Teenage girls, that'll get you pregnant. Amen?
Yep.
Yeah. And love is not what the world thinks and what the world believes and what the world teaches, and it's not what the Mormon church teaches either. But this is right off of their own TV station.
We all know of the two plans of salvation presented by the God to his sons, Lucifer and Jehovah. A great battle commenced between their followers, and even though Lucifer was cast out, the war between the forces of good and evil have continued to this day.
Listen again.
We all know of the two plans of salvation presented by the God to his sons, Lucifer and Jehovah. God to his sons, Lucifer and Jehovah. To his sons, Lucifer and Jehovah. To his sons, Lucifer and Jehovah.
The Mormon Church teaches that the God of this earth was once a man, and he became a god, and now he's having celestial sex with billions of wives, producing us. And that Jesus and Lucifer are created just like us, and they are sons of Elohim, the God of this planet. That is blasphemy. And Jesus, as Doug mentioned, you go to John 1, Jesus is the creator. He's not created. And so the question when you hear these Mormons and Muslims and everybody, what does Jesus have to say about all this? And that's the first verse we read in this text. Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. How many of you have red letter Bibles that should be red in your Bible? Anybody doesn't have it red in their Bible? You don't have... I'm saying, if you have a red letter Bible, does anybody with a red letter Bible have that in black? Okay, I'm just asking because they've done it. The Mormon Church prints up its own Bibles, and they use the King James because it doesn't have a public domain. It doesn't have a copyright, it's public domain. And there are other groups who have printed up Bibles, and they've left this and a few other verses black to try to make you think it ain't Jesus. Just want to throw that out there, free information. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's making the reference to the Alpha and the Omega. Because that is a reference to the beginning and the end. It's a reference in the received text. I just want to show you this. It's just interesting. In the Greek text that the King James Bible was taken from, ego to alpha, that's a PH sound, L, alpha, chi is our and, to is the, and look, they didn't even spell the word in the text, they just put the symbol for the last letter in the alphabet, the omega. And so you take the letter A, just like in our alphabet, and this little horseshoe looking thing, and that's alpha and omega. And that's kind of something you ought to understand and keep in the back of your head. Because you'll see the cults and in the occult, you'll see those symbols used in a blasphemous manner for this very reason. Because of the Bible verse that we're reading right now, that's why you'll see them do that. This is what it looks like. How many of you have seen, you might have even seen bumper stickers and things. And how many of you, there was a commercial not too long ago where they were calling some character the Alpha and the Omega. And it wasn't Jesus. You're going to see it. A lot of times, how many of you, I've said this before, I had never noticed blue Fits, Honda Fits, until I bought one. Ever since I bought one, I see them all the time now. Silver Hondas until Charlie bought one. Now instead of, man, those things are everywhere. It's like Charlie's everywhere. And I knew it wasn't Charlie because of the way they were driving. But how many of you done that? Never noticed a car before. Then when you buy one, you start seeing it everywhere. Well, that's the kind of thing that you're going to find when you learn the Bible. Things you learn that you think, this isn't important. Why? I've never heard that. You learn it, and then when you go out in the real world, you're going to start seeing it. You learn those two symbols, you're going to start seeing them, and you're going to see them used blasphemously if you watch much TV, movies, and that sort of thing. This phrase is defined by the rest of the verse. So you don't need to know even what Alpha and Omega is other than for the reasons I gave you. It's good to know. But you really didn't have to know that because the rest of the verse defines what is Alpha and Omega? The beginning and the end. The first and the last. King James Bible with its built-in dictionary. And this is one example where the lexicons might agree with it, actually. But there's times where you'll look up, you'll use a lexicon, and it'll disagree with what the Bible actually says. That's why you shouldn't use lexicons. They're fallible books with errors in them. King James Bible is an infallible book. As different as night from day. Amen? Yeah. Here's a little reality check. We don't have to guess at what this means. We simply look at the Old Testament. That whole verse begins with Alpha and Omega. You may not know what that means, but then you read the rest of the verse. Oh, it means the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. And then you say, okay, now hit me. What does that mean? Well, it has Isaiah 44:6. Again, we're going to see the King James Bible define it for you. You're going to find out from the King James Bible what the King James Bible means. The best thing you can have is a word search. You can use your computer for word searches, or you can have a Strong's Concordance. Ignore the Greek and Hebrew dictionary. You can actually buy Strong's with just the concordance, where it has all the words listed and every verse where that word appears. And then you can use this to look these verses up. Isaiah 44:6. Read that with me. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Amen. That's what that means. Jesus is claiming to be this God. What's neat about it says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. Right there you can see there's more than one person in the Godhead. Amen. Muhammad was stupid. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Ecumenicalism is a lie of the devil. There is no all gods lead to heaven. There is no all paths lead to God. You see that coexist bumper sticker? That's why I put the repent bumper stickers out there. Because the coexist bumper sticker is a satanic lie. Because they're not saying coexist with Christianity. You look at that, there's no real symbol of Christianity on there. And what they mean by coexist is nobody's right. Everybody just ought to, you know, have their own way. That's that coexist bumper sticker is satanic. Yeah. To be Alpha and Omega is to be the first and the last, and is to be the beginning and ending. That's what that means. And that's who Jesus is. Jesus is God. We started our studies, I don't know how many years ago. Revelation chapter 1, it's been 4 years. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. And Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord. And how you want to know for sure that's Jesus? Which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus was. It says, Lord, which is, and was, and which is to come. Because that's in reference to His coming, dying, being buried, rising again. And he's coming again. That's what that's... It's, there's only one person ever to exist who is, was, and is to come. And that's Jesus. And you want to hear... You want to... Just another example how the cults lie and twist. Says He's the Almighty right there, right? Over in Isaiah 9:6 says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You show that to Jehovah's Witness, and they'll say, yeah, it says He's the Mighty God, but not the Almighty God. Well, go over to Revelation 1:8 then. But, you know, they know most people aren't walking Bibles, so that's why they play those games. God is the I Am. See? God is the I Am. Exodus 3:14, when Jesus is talking to Moses, God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And He said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. That's Jesus. You want to know why I know that? Over in John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. Yeah, they wanted to kill Him, and that's what they're still trying to do, but they take it out on us. That's why Jesus said they don't hate you, they hate me. And they know I'm in you, and that's why they hate you. That is why He alone can say what He says in the next couple of verses. Only the Creator could look at you and say, Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And I forgot to turn my ringer off. That's just so you know what that noise is. I'm just lecturing everybody else, and then I didn't do it. Blessed are they that do His commandments. And, of course, some of these folks have a real problem with this. They say, well, that's teaching a work salvation, brother. The answer to doing His commandments depends on your dispensation. Now, I'm preaching to people who are in this dispensation, so that's what we'll talk about. If you were in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, the way to have, as it says, to have right to the tree of life, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. How many of you are saved like that? I'm thankful no one raised your hand. You're not saved by staying away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? You're not in that dispensation. So after they were kicked out of the garden, you offered a blood sacrifice by faith, and then at the end of that dispensation, which we're not sure how long, but it didn't last real long, you had to get on the ark. And how many of you are saved by getting on an ark? Literal boat. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't go down to Kentucky and look at the Noah's Ark, but getting on that ark isn't going to save you. And then how many of you had to be circumcised as males on the eighth day and then go to a temple and slit the throat of a spotless lamb and catch the blood and then offer that lamb with its blood to pay for your sins? That was a temporary payment. But you had to do that or you go to hell. How many of you do that? How many of you went over to Jerusalem on Yom Kippur this year and went over and made atonement? Not your dispensation, right?
No.
So this Bible verse is true. Even though people try to claim it's a contradiction, it's not. You say, well, what about our dispensation? Well, in our dispensation, there's obedience to be saved. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Verse 8, survey says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that what?
Obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ."
There's your commandment. You want right to eat of the tree of life? Obey the gospel. What's that mean? That means you repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, conquering sin, conquering your death penalty, and conquering hell. And you believe that, you're obeying the gospel and you're saved. And so that's how you have right to the tree of life. Ain't that something? Your choice is to obey the gospel call, to repent and believe the gospel. So people will falsely accuse me, and I'm getting used to it. They'll say, you're adding things to the gospel because you say repent and believe the gospel. No, repentance isn't added to the gospel. The gospel is how that Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Once you present the gospel, and that's all there is to the gospel. Once you present the gospel, and then the next thing you tell that lost, wicked sinner who's been in rebellion against God, not believing the gospel, loving their wicked, evil deeds, according to John 3:19, according to Jesus Christ, that's why they're lost. You look at that person and you say, repent and believe the gospel. Not adding works, not adding repentance to the gospel. The gospel is the gospel, but you have to repent and believe the gospel. Your choice is to do that or to join those who refuse the gospel. And it's your choice. The Calvinists teach that it's not your choice, that you've been preordained to either be saved or be damned. And because they don't like the way their own doctrine sounds, then they'll say, well, we only believe that God chose to save some. He didn't damn the rest. You two-faced, cotton-picking liar. Just, if you believe that stuff, preach it without fear, man. If I was a Calvinist, I'd be out on the streets preaching it. Come to the gospel if you're elect. If not, go to hell. If I was a Calvinist, that's what I'd preach. Yeah, I'd be, get a fog machine and have a fire, blazing. And I'm here to call the elect. If you're elect, come and be saved. If not, stay away.
Keep
private. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. For without are dogs. Now, this is not to be taken too literally. It's not talking about puppies, canines. They don't go to hell. Little puppies, I believe, are going to be in the kingdom. It doesn't necessarily mean that Sebby's going to be there, but if I want Sebby to be there, Sebby's going to be there. And then we'll have a custody battle in heaven between me and Jenny. Amen?
You can have him for $1 million.
Yeah, we'll trade off every million a year or so. Now, but you remember, now this is going to hurt. This is going to hurt because this ain't the Jesus that you've been taught about, a lot of you. You know who Jesus told us dogs were?
Gentiles.
Us.
Yep.
I don't think, are there any Jews in here? Yeah. You're Jew? You got Jewish DNA?
From my mom and my grandmother.
Wow, that's neat. Everybody else, you're all a bunch of dogs. You remember the Gentile woman that went up to Jesus and he said, it's not me to give she said the dogs eat the crumbs, but he said it's not. All right, I'm getting confused now. Look it up. Yes, to give the meat from the children and give it to the dogs. And she said, well, even the dogs eat the crumbs from the table. And then he called that great faith. But who were the dogs? The Gentiles. You and I, before we're saved, were dogs. So really, the first term here for without our dogs is a collective statement of all of the unsaved Gentiles. And then among them, you can break them down, sorcerers. Now, do you know what a sorcerer is? A sorcerer is not what you saw in the Disney cartoon. Okay? What you got in the Disney cartoon makes it all, you know. But what a sorcerer does, a sorcerer mixes things up so that they can give you something to drink or eat, like a pill, that'll put you in an altered state of mind. A lot of our sorcerers are called psychotherapists. A lot of our sorcerers are called psychologists, DOs, MDs. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I always have to disclaimer, I'm not saying all medicine's wrong. I'm on antibiotics right now. I'd be a hypocrite to say that. But we're abusing everything, including antibiotics. This is only the third time in 15 years that I've taken antibiotics. There have been times where I was probably should have taken it, but try not to take it any time I don't have to. But antibiotics isn't a mind-altering drug. But there are a lot of people taking mind-altering drugs, and some of them, sadly, are Christians, and they just, instead of making changes in their lives and doing things they need to do, they just try to take the easy way out, and they take pills. There's also a lot of professing Christians smoking pot, a lot of professing Christians who get drunk or drink enough to inebriate themselves to get away, from, you know, at least out of their, you know, to feel relaxed. All that. That's wrong. It's wrong. It's sorcery. You're opening yourself up to the spirit world. Now, if you're a Christian doing that, God's going to deal with you, but you're going to suffer the consequences. But what these people we're looking at are dogs who are doing this. And then there's also just the methamphetamines and the heroin and all that, that people, they turn to that instead of God. See? That's what's wrong with it. Whoremongers, that's people who turn to sex instead of God. They try to fulfill a need. I've read different claims about who said this first, so I'm not even going to try to tell you who said it, but it's a great picture. There's a God-shaped vacuum in all of us. And you can try to fill that with drugs. With that goes the occult. And people will hurt because they've lost a loved one. So what do? They try to go to a psychic or someone to bring them up in a seance. Sorcery. That psychic gets in an altered state of mind. See, it's all related to the drug thing. And then some people murder. Well, why are most abortions committed? It's because people are trying to live a life and fulfill their life by sex a lot of times. And they can't, so they kill the baby. Other people have committed, how many of you, what was the name of the Menendez brothers? You remember that? They killed their parents just to get the parents out of the way so they can enjoy the money. Godless kids killing their parents, it happens a lot. Murders, idolatry, instead of God, they turn to idolatry. Why? Because a lot of the, almost all idolatry I've ever studied is sensual. And so they actually get involved in drugs or sex and other things in their idolatrous practices. And whosoever...